Well, in the hymn we sing, "Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee." Today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, and it's the Sunday when we recall, with glad hearts, I think, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, over 2,000 years ago, the people honored Christ with palm branches. Palm branches in the Middle East are symbols of righteousness and victory and rejoicing. The Bible says that we will carry palm branches in heaven as we stand before the throne of God. A vast multitude of people, the Gospels are recording in Matthew, Mark, and John, the triumphal entry, and they record that not only was a vast multitude following Christ, but a vast multitude came out of Jerusalem to meet Christ on the road. They were carrying palm branches to honor Jesus Christ. They laid down their cloaks on the road to stifle the dust and cushion the stride of the donkey. And the people cried out, "Hosanna." Hosanna means God saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The people honored Christ, and Jesus received their praises, even though he knew what was coming. For the church and for us here in Roseau, perhaps there is a terrible lesson that we need to learn on Palm Sunday. And that lesson is revealed 7 days later, 7 days after the triumphal entry, 7 days after the choruses of Hosanna, when the people cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." 7 days later, where were those who would honor Jesus? 7 days later, where were the disciples? Where were those followers of Christ? I think many times Christians feel sorrow and sadness for the Jews who failed to understand the nature of the King of Israel. They wanted and they expected, even as they still expect today, a political leader to rise up and lead the nation of Israel back to glory. But Jesus did not fit their expectations. And so they turned on him. But what about us? What about the church? What about the true church? What kind of king do you want? Do you want a king that suits your own purposes? Or do you worship the king for who he is? You know, in so many churches under the Christian flag, Christians are turning away from the Christ revealed in Scripture, and they're inventing a Christ and a Savior that suits their own desires, a Christ and Savior that allows them to do what they want to do. Well, how do we understand the nature and the kind of King that we truly have? How do we honor him with our lives, as we sang in the hymn? The disciples faced these very issues the night before the triumphal entry, the night before Palm Sunday, when they were turned so easily away from honoring Christ. And so the scripture text is John 12, 1 through 8, and I want to read that again for the sake of those listening on the radio. The Bible says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. And then Mary, Martha's sister, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." This text has been a Palm Sunday lesson in the Lutheran Church for centuries, because this text shows us both how we are to honor Christ, but also shows how, when members of the church follow their old nature, they dishonor Christ. In the actions of the disciples that evening, we see, first of all, that we honor Christ by hearing his word. And second of all, we see that we dishonor Christ whenever we follow after our old nature. And finally, we see emphasized that we honor Christ by loving one another. In the church, we honor Christ by loving one another. Well, first of all, we see we honor Christ by hearing his word. During this season of Lent, throughout the Northwest District here of our Free Lutheran Church, the theme has been the road to the cross. The final destination is the cross. Well, that road actually began in the summer of 29, 9 months before, right after Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible says in Matthew 16:21, right after that, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day." Do you think that was on their minds on Palm Sunday? The fact is, the disciples had a real hard time receiving that word. Do you remember how Peter responded? He rebuked Jesus. He said, "Surely this will not happen to you, Lord." And Jesus immediately rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." The Bible says for the next 9 months, Jesus explained to his disciples what was coming. One of the last instances is found in Matthew 20, verse 18. Jesus says, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day, he will rise again." The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record this teaching 9 times, but it was taught many more times than that. That's just what we have recorded. And it seems like no one was listening. Or if they were listening, they weren't actually hearing. You know what the difference is? Listening can be going in one ear and right out the other. Hearing is when it comes in and it changes you. You act on it. It makes a difference. They were listening but not hearing. That is, they were not understanding. But it seems from our text today, there was one who was hearing. There was one who knew what was coming. And on that night, before the triumphal entry, we see her faithfulness. Verses 1 and 2 says, Jesus came to Bethany. That's the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who were disciples and friends of Christ. He'd stayed there many times. The Bible says in verse 1 and 2, this is where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. Sound familiar? Martha served. The interesting thing is, when we look at Matthew and Mark, we find out that the dinner actually was not in the home of Martha and Mary. Matthew and Mark say specifically the dinner was in the home of Simon the leper, one of the lepers whom Jesus had cleansed many months before. Now, as Jesus comes through Bethany again, this man who is no longer a leper, he hosts a dinner for Jesus. Martha and Mary and Lazarus and the other disciples are all invited to attend. Martha, true to her character, serves. You know, that's fine. That's a way of honoring Christ. It's a way of blessing him. Just like the previous fall, you remember the first time that's recorded in scriptures, Martha was serving in the kitchen. Where was Mary? Mary was at Jesus' feet. And Martha was trying to tell Jesus, have Mary come help me in the kitchen. But do you remember what Jesus said? And this is so critical to this text. Jesus said, no, Mary is listening to my word, and that is the most needful thing. That's a very interesting thing that Jesus said there, very important. Mary's listening to what Jesus had to say was a needful thing. There was something that was necessary and needed that was going on right there as Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And we see in this morning's text what it is. Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening, hearing his word, hearing Jesus teach, just like he did all those many months that he was coming to Jerusalem to die. Mary heard Jesus, and this explains why on this night, verse 3 says, Mary took a pound of costly spikenard oil, very precious perfume. Matthew Mark says she anointed Jesus' head and his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Jesus explains this in verse 7. He says that Mary has been keeping this oil all these many months for just this time, especially for him, for the day of his burial. Somehow Mary knows that she knows Christ is going to the cross, but somehow she knows that he will not receive the proper anointing before he's buried. This is the needful thing. And so, she anoints Jesus in that room. Mary knew what was needed. She anoints Jesus. And Jesus declares in Matthew 26:10, he says, she has done a good work for me. And Matthew and Mark both include these words of Christ. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. Faithful Mary, she'd heard Jesus, and she had bought this perfume, and she did the needful thing, the one thing that was necessary. It's an amazing contrast. While the disciples are dining, and tomorrow we've got this fabulous triumphal entry, only Mary seems to be thinking about the cross. She honors Christ because she has heard his word The contrast is even more stunning when the disciples are led astray and they follow their old nature. The disciples forget Christ. They forget love. And they rebuke Mary. And that's the second lesson for us. We dishonor Christ when we are following after our old nature. Verses 4 and 5 in John 12 says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Jesus, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it." Sadly, even more sadly, Matthew and Mark tell us that the disciples all joined Judas, and they say that they criticized her sharply. They criticized her sharply, and they were indignant. How this must have saddened John's heart to recall this episode 50 years later when he wrote this gospel. Because he probably was one of those disciples who sharply criticized Mary and was indignant. Certainly none of the disciples defended her. None of them responded with the love that Christ calls us to have for one another, to try to find out what was even going on. No, they were swept along. And who were they following? Judas, the thief. It sounded so lofty, and here's where we must be careful, Christian friends. So many times, criticism of others begins with such lofty principles or sounding principles. Judas says the perfume cost a year's wages, 300 denarii, a year's wages. Can you imagine that? Someone in our congregation maybe making a donation to honor Christ that cost as much as a year's salary? Judas says this should have been taken and given to the poor. Help the poor. But the Bible explains, John explains after the fact, that Judas was guided by darker motives. He was using the poor as an opportunity to fill the money box from which he was stealing. How many people today, I wonder, in our society and in our political world, have gotten rich and powerful, pretending to care about the poor, making lofty statements about the poor, only to make gain for themselves? Judas was a thief, but what about the other disciples? And this is the heart of the matter. This is the heart of this text for us on Palm Sunday. The disciples, they had heard what was coming. They knew who Jesus is, and yet they're swept by Judas' criticism, and they were indignant, and they criticized Mary sharply. And the implication is that Mary's perfume is wasted on Jesus. Furthermore, they are actually rebuking Jesus because Jesus received the gift of Mary without complaint. And so by rebuking Mary and being indignant about the gift, they are actually rebuking Christ for receiving it. The disciples followed Judas, and they were following their old nature, and they dishonored Christ. Mary was the only one who was focused on Jesus' looming death on the cross, and she sought to honor him and be obedient to his word. And the disciples didn't understand her motives. They didn't understand what was going on, nor were they thinking about all the things that Jesus had taught them. Instead, they just went right into criticism and indignation and unloving. attitude, both towards Mary and Jesus, and they dishonored Christ. And the lesson for us, dear friends, is there is no place for this in the Christian church. There's no place for this in Christ's church. There's no place for backbiting, talking about other members of the congregation. That doesn't honor Christ. There's no place in God's family for gossip. That doesn't honor Christ either. There's no place in the congregation even for complaining about things that when you're complaining to somebody who's not going to help fix the problem or maybe is part of the solution. No, when we hear that talk, when we hear that kind of indignation or that kind of sharp criticism, that kind of lovelessness, we are to put a stop to it lovingly. We are to remember Judas and the thief and the traitor. And we are to remember that Christians honor Christ by loving one another. A week after this event, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, just before he went out to the garden, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and he tells them this. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, by your love for your brothers and sisters in the congregation, the world will know you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Dear friends, in Christ's church, and especially I pray in our congregation here at Roseau, whenever disagreements arise, and they will, because we're people and we can't always agree in perfect harmony, but whenever disagreements arise, I pray that each one of us remembers Christ's love. Remember that before you speak. It's possible that you don't understand the full situation. You don't understand the issues at hand. Like the disciples following Judas and their old nature. But if you feel compelled that you must speak, only speak to those who are immediately concerned. Those who can do something about it, or those who can tell you something about it. And if somebody is found criticizing another, and they're not trying to solve the problem, they're just criticizing or backbiting, then with love, gently remind them of the love of Christ and put an end to it. The eighth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What does this mean? It means we should fear and love God so that we do not deceitfully lie about, betray, backbite, nor slander our neighbor, but instead defend him, speak well of him, and always put the most charitable construction on all that he does. Luther's Small Catechism. The Apostle John learned this lesson maybe better than any of the disciples, and that's why he's called the disciple of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 11, we read, beloved, brothers and sisters in the church, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The Apostle Paul learned this lesson. He writes in Ephesians 4:31, interesting, he writes even while he's in prison. He writes, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ in God has forgiven you. Dear friends, Christians desire to honor Christ, and we honor Christ by hearing his word and acting accordingly. And the word of Christ tells us to love one another. In those days, just 7 days before the cross, when so many were singing Hosanna, and then they turned and crucified Jesus, Mary remembered Christ's words. She remembered the cross. She remembered the oil. And she honored Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So, on Palm Sunday, let's remember Mary and her love and the love of Christ. Let us remember the cross. Let us love one another and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.